Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
305 Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Friday. Yes, indeed, we have made it. Congratulations. Self high fives all the way around. Of course, Fridays, I wear red, R-E-D. Remember, everyone deployed. I am always, always, always happy to wear something red today. I have to thank my dear friend Emily Morrissey from Emily's Bracelets. I am sporting one of Emily's red bracelets so that I am suitably attired. Remember, R-E-D. Remember, everyone deployed, started by a couple of Marine moms a few years ago. We saw a pretty feisty, passionate Marine mom up on stage. She herself a Marine. I'm talking, of course, about our Lieutenant Governor, Winston Earl Sears. Most of us who are certainly part of this little get-together each afternoon, we were listening, we were watching. And two things here. Number one, I do want to hear what you thought. 833-804-1140. Hit me up on the James River Air text line. 833-804-1140. Was there a winner? Was there a loser? Was it a wash? You think any minds were changed? What'd you make of the moderators? I want to hear what you're thinking on this. 833-804-1140. I especially want to hear from my friend John Reed. John, of course, the Republican nominee for lieutenant governor. He is joining us, and I want to get his sense of how the debate went last night. John, thank you for being here, sir.
Hey, thanks, Jeff. I thought Winsome, you know, shook it up pretty dramatically. And, you know, she just wasn't going to stand there and play nice while a bunch of lies were told. It was uncomfortable to watch, but all of these things are uncomfortable to watch. And the last thing you want to do is allow a Democrat to get up and just run their mouth, not answer the questions, lie directly to everybody's face, and then you wind up with 59 seconds to try to offer a rebuttal and your answer. Winsome wasn't going to go for that.
Let's talk about some of the substance as well as some of the style, because style-wise, I did hear plenty of critiques, people saying, my gosh, the lieutenant governor's just interrupting too much, you got to let her finish, because if, in fact, Ms. Spamberger says anything, it's going to be bad, so let her finish. But substance-wise, for sure, Abigail Spamberger was just MIA, wasn't she?
Well, she looked really rattled. Yeah. You know, everybody's acted like Abigail Spamberger is invincible and, oh, my God, she's so amazing. She was a congresswoman. You know, she was my congresswoman. I have never really thought she was that spectacular. I used to watch her little speeches on the House floor. You know, everybody gets 2 minutes to run their mouth and, you know, criticize the Republican president, talk about all the things they're going to do that they cannot do, you know, and then they send them back to the locality. Everybody's kind of figured out that it's all bogus. Have you ever seen her give a speech where you're like, wow, that was deep. That was thoughtful. Very, very impressive. No, the whole thing has been she's a soccer mom, and I'm not even sure that's true, but whatever. So I didn't think that she said anything that made me, even as a Republican candidate, go, wow, that was a good idea. That was brilliant. I thought it was pretty pedestrian. And the tap dancing about the trans stuff, she just can't deal with that issue, even though apparently she's 100% wedded to it. What's up with that?
You know, that is a great question. She had, just from Lieutenant Governor Sears, three opportunities to really say, yeah, you know what, Jay Jones, he ought to go. Then the moderators followed up on that. Same thing with the should you have men in the girls' locker room question. She had multiple opportunities. There was that very, how do you even describe it? It was a very uncomfortable pause. I mean, she was just silent, right?
God, and the camera angle, which I guess wasn't prepared, of, you know, Abigail just kind of staring off into space, refusing to even acknowledge that Winsome Sears was in the room. Now, I mean, I can tell you, if Winsome Sears was a Democrat, I know what the Democrats would be saying. Oh, how racist that she wouldn't even acknowledge the black lady. I mean, seriously, that's what would be said, because it was uncomfortable and weird. Like, she's talking to you. Why don't you just acknowledge that she's speaking to you, even if you rebut it? That's what we're looking for here. The whole thing was an odd dynamic. Yeah. And, of course, I've done a lot of events like this, as you have, Jeff. I just wouldn't have stood up there like a robot, pushing the buttons in my head. This is the answer I'm supposed to give to this question. And that's what it looked like to me, was coming from Abigail.
It was. I'm glad you are using that term. And what a brilliant term that you've hit on. It was robotic. It was so well rehearsed that it was a very bad actress delivering lines. It wasn't somebody speaking from the heart. It was someone who was committed to saying X, Y, and Z, regardless of what it was. And her unwillingness to acknowledge the lieutenant governor in any way, not even looking at her, that wasn't just uncomfortable. That was ugly. And it reminded me, and you got to go back a few years for this one. I know you remember this. E.W. Jackson, Bishop E.W. Jackson, the Republican nominee for lieutenant governor, facing off against Ralph Northam, the Democrat candidate for lieutenant governor. And Ralph Northam refused to shake his hand. And of course,
that's right,
Ralph Northam got a pass because he's got a D next to his name.
Well, you see the trend here.
Yes.
I mean, not to bring it back to me, but I'm going to bring it back to me. Why does Gazala get a pass for not even having a lieutenant governor's debate? At least those two stood on stage with each other for 60 minutes and answered some questions. I mean, truly, I guess I'm too close to it to be 100% objective, but come on, is the media in Richmond, is the media in Northern Virginia, is the media in Virginia Beach, everywhere across the state, really okay with the second in command in Virginia not being vetted in public? Is that cool? I'm stunned that no one seems to care, and they're just going to give Gazala a pass while I go out every single day taking phone calls from reporters, doing interviews on Zoom calls, stopping, pulling my car over on the side of the highway and doing live shots for local TV. I mean, I'm the most accessible candidate out of the six people. And I very rarely, I can't even think of the last time I've told someone no. And I don't get any credit for that. And Gazala's just going to hide in her basement. No one cares. It's really making me mad.
You deserve to be mad, though. Let me remind everybody, my friend John Reed is joining us, the Republican nominee for lieutenant governor. You absolutely deserve to be mad. And you know who else deserves to be mad? We, the people of the Commonwealth of Virginia. The idea that to be governor, you will debate your opponent for 60 minutes one time. I don't think that's enough, and I think there should be more. There should have been more. The idea that someone wants to be lieutenant governor, as you rightly point out, second in command here in the Commonwealth. We've got 8 million people in our state. We got a lot going on, and she refuses to engage in any debate. And the attorney general's race, as you know, there's going to be a 1-hour discussion in front of the Virginia State Bar Association, and that's it. It is absolutely shameful any way you slice it, and we the people ought to be mad as hell.
And, you know, the people deserve to find out where Ghazala Hashemi, where Abigail Spanberger, and quite frankly, where, you know, people like that jerk that you just had in the newscast, Don Scott, the, you know, the drug dealer Speaker of the House. I mean, I'm sorry. I know everybody thinks he's so reformed. He should behave a little more politely if he's a reformed convict, to be honest with you. I think we should be asking those people, is it really okay that the guy who's going to be adjudicating law in Virginia on your behalf as a Democrat fantasizes about blowing the brains out of his political opponents and watching their children die? Is that okay? Would you say that it's okay if there was some Republican had used the N-word in text messages? Would you say it was okay if somebody was applying to be a state trooper and you found out that they had said that kind of stuff about people, whether it was race-based or religious-based or any other reason? I'm just telling you, if you were a cop or you were applying for a cop and someone went through your social media and said, oh my God, look at him talking about killing somebody to get his way, would you put that person in a patrol car? The answer is no. And the idea that the Democrats, from the Speaker of the House, himself an ex-con, to Abigail Spanberger, Ghazala Hashemi, and the rest of them don't have the moral fortitude to say, hey, this crosses the line about Jay Jones, exposes the frauds that they are. And I hope Virginians are paying attention. I don't want to live in a state where someone is in elected office making important decisions, where I need to be able to count on them at least being fair as they sit down at the table, and knowing that in the back of their mind, they hate me so much they wouldn't mind if I was dead. That's not acceptable. What's the problem here?
That's a great question. It is a great question. They have demonstrated that they really just don't have any integrity. There's no honor over there. If you can simply go along with that sort of nonsense, you simply excuse that sort of garbage. While we're in that vein, John, I didn't suggest that we should address this, but I'm sure you won't mind. Ghazala Hashemi has now come out with an attack piece on you. I saw this, again, only on social media. I don't know that it's anywhere else. It certainly wasn't sent to me, but I've read it from her social media, accusing you of bigotry in the religious arena, right?
Oh, yes, that's right. Because, you know, Ghazala Hashemi, who can't say it to my face, won't go on stage, won't hold a press conference. She's doing her entire campaign with, like, tweets online. She says that someone like me, who, if you've listened to WRVA, I've traveled around the world. I'm probably one of the most traveled, most empathetic people that you'll ever meet, that suddenly I'm against Muslims because I dare to ask a question like, how would you adjudicate Sharia law if you are going to be the lieutenant governor of Virginia? Now, is that an out-of-line question? I think they asked Pat Robertson that when he was running for president as an evangelical Christian. I get asked questions every day about being a gay man and how I'm going to deal with Winsome Sears as an evangelical Christian. So excuse me, lady, why is it that I, for the last 7 months, have had nonstop questions about my personal life, my religion, the religion of other leaders in Virginia? But what, you get a pass? Nobody gets to ask you anything about a relevant issue in Virginia? Why can't you explain that? If you think it's such a bigoted question, you should be able to answer in 30 seconds and shoot it down. But you can't. And I'm tired of people bullying responsible people who dare ask the obvious question. I'm not putting up with it anymore.
I am thrilled to hear that, John. I appreciate you jumping on this afternoon. I loved your assessment of the debate. Love getting into a couple of these other issues as well. I know the weekend is here, which means you will have no free time. You'll be out and about one end of the state to the other. So I always wish you safe travels.
It's going to be busy, Jeff. I wish I'd been sitting at your house watching the debate with you. We would have had a good time tearing it apart.
There might have been one or two entertaining activities at the bar while we were watching that debate. But, John, I appreciate it, my friend. Go get him. JohnReed4Virginia.com. That is John's website, JohnReed4Virginia.com. com. And again, I really do appreciate John hopping on with an assessment of that. I want to hear what you're saying as well. 833-804-1140. That is the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140. Was there a winner? Was there a loser? You tell me. You, honest to goodness, you tell me. I am obviously biased in this. I'm going to vote for Winsome Sears. You know that. I certainly have not hidden that. However, I hear the complaints coming in, and I got a lot of them last night during the debate, and people today going, Jeff, if only she wouldn't interrupt. That was the drawback to her. Okay. That's a legitimate criticism. I'm not going to discount that. There were plenty of people who were impacted by that. Now I ask you, if you want to talk about style, what about the Abigail Spanberger style of refusing to even acknowledge Winsome Sears standing right there? Wouldn't even look at her. Substance? Well, I thought Winsome Sears spoke about the issues. You may not have liked what she said. That's okay. But she actually spoke about the issues. Abigail Spanberger tap danced and lied, which is what she has done her entire political career. And actually, if we want to go back, you know, she trained at the farm. She learned how to tap dance and lie as a CIA operative. Did she not? Well, that's what I heard. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 3:26, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Coming up at 3:35, Dr. Dave Bratt is going to be with us. I want to hear what he has to say about these reductions in force. These are the firings, the terminations that are coming down from the federal government right now. Remember last week he said Democrats are not going to be thrilled when they see that Russ Vogt might very well be stepping in here and starting to cut these posts, cutting these positions, eliminating them, because he has every right to do this under the closed government situation with the Democrats created. And they continue. So we'll hear what he has to say. Hey, taking a look at the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140. Jeff, Ghazala Hashmi thinks doing a Biden-style campaign will give her a win on Spamberger's coattails. I pray the good citizens of Virginia will see through this. 804, Jeff, I was very proud of Winsome Sears last night. It shows she will not fold under pressure when hard decisions have to be made. As for Abigail Spanberger, she did Kamala Harris proud. Pat from Richmond says, Jeff, I have not heard word salads like that from Abigail Spanberger since the presidential race. Winsome Sears did great, 804 says. Will it be enough to get the anti-Trump people on board? 804, Jeff, Godzilla Hashmi, I think you mean Ghazala, or it must be, spell check. Ghazala Hashmi is saving her money for a last-minute media blitz trying to disparage John Reed. 3:28, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 3:35, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday. We have made it. Congratulations. Self high fives all the way around. We have so much, I do mean so much, that we are analyzing this afternoon. The debate last night between Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears and Abigail Spanberger. We have, of course, this incredible peace plan, and it's underway. I mean, it's underway. I don't know how far it goes, how long it lasts, but my gosh, President Trump was able to do what I don't think we've ever really seen before. And we have Russ Vogt. A lot of people didn't even know that name before last week when Dr. Dave Bratt said, hey, while the Democrats are keeping the government shut down, this Russ Vogt has the ability to eliminate some jobs. And it looks like that's exactly what he's doing. Now, I want to dive into that. And I'm thrilled to say that Dr. Dave Bratt, Senior Vice President for Business Relations down there at Liberty University, joins. He joins us every Friday. Now, he's not here on behalf of Liberty. He's just here because he's a brilliant guy. He's a nice guy. He's got insight that, frankly, I just don't think we get to hear nearly often enough. And he's a friend. Dave, thank you for being here.
Dave, thanks for having me on, Jeff. Great.
Do you want to start with the debate, or did you just not have time to watch it or listen to it?
No. Well, I've been living it for 10 years. I mean, what happened in the debate is the rest of the world got to see Spamberger doesn't ever want to answer any questions. And it's kind of in all political views of my own, but the Democrat Party, they don't have a leader right now. They don't have any ideas. They don't have a platform. All they have is rage. They're upset. They're massively upset. And so, I mean, you kind of got that indication. If they have to respond to policy positions, their response would be a dog with fleas. It wouldn't fly with the voters. And so they don't say the answer. And so that that's just my quick take. And then all of this is linked, right? The rage here in Virginia, and the attorney general candidate says he's going to shoot this speaker and his wife and kids. And then in Chicago, you got riots and they're attacking federal ICE agents, which is against the law. Attacking policemen, that's kind of against the law. And then you have 20 million illegal immigrants. That's against the law. And the left is in favor of this against the law stuff. And conservatives are for keeping the law. And in Oregon, you got these attacks. And then you got the peace deal with President Trump. Thank God. And I mean that literally, right? Yes. I mean, that peace deal, it's still going to be tough. That ain't no walk in the park. But to have that agreement, just the first piece of 20 fall into place, is the biggest. And that, we've spent $17 trillion on war in the last couple decades. And that money, if we spent that over here on our kids in schools, et cetera, in an innovation and technology, what a difference. And so I think the American people like, the Trump philosophy of America first, bring the money back home. All of the founders were against all these foreign entanglements, right? All of them. Washington, Jefferson, Madison, Monroe, I mean, all of them, do not get involved with these international entanglements. And just stay here. And we got enough problems over here. Now, hopefully, we get to work on the, the border's already closed. But now, getting back to the economy and getting things moving again. And so the positive energy, I think, is with the Republicans. I still want the House and Senate to do more. And fight a little harder fight. But that's my overall summary of the week.
Excellent, excellent. Last week, Dave, you introduced a lot of us to Russ Vogt.
Yep.
I would dare say most people really didn't know. Who is this guy? What are his responsibilities? Remind us who he is, what his responsibilities are, and what apparently he's doing today.
Yeah, well, he's a wizard. He's a friend of mine. I know that whole group, Center for Renewing America. If you want to look up the Center for Renewing America. He was with the Heritage Foundation, which, is soup to nuts across the board policy shop in D.C. Kind of used to be the old Paul Ryan, a little bit of white paper, boring. But now they're under new leadership with Kevin Roberts. They did the 2025 thing, which got all vilified. But the main thing Russ Vogt did was he went through the budget 3 years ago, and he did it prior in Trump's first term, with a fine-tooth comb and cut out all the woke and weaponized and silly stuff and saved $1.5 trillion in a single year, right? The Republican Congresses, they think it's good to cut $1 trillion off of a 10-year window.
Right.
And that's clearly not good enough because we're $60 trillion in debt at the end of this decade. So for all the folks doing the math out there, if you cut $1 trillion off of the 10-year window, you're still $59 trillion in debt. That obviously doesn't cut it, right?
Right.
So Russ Vogt's the only one that went through the entire budget line by line, did the hard, Herculean work. And so those folks deserve some praise, not ridicule. It's easy to hand out free candy and be a politician and say, oh, I'm for this. I'm going to give you this. That's a vote getter.
That's right.
But we're bankrupt. The economy, I've said it a million times on your show, the productivity in our country has been going down for 70 years in a row. Mm. And that's because government spending has been going up for 70 years in a row. And so we got to end the gravy train, the free stuff, if you want to hand an economy over to the kids at all. They're already in the basements.
They already can't afford homes. The food prices are through the roof because Biden had 20% inflation. We got to fix all that. So that's Russ' vote in a nutshell.
And today, apparently, we call them reductions in force, right? We're cutting people.
Yep.
So who would the people be that are losing their jobs? I'm trying to get an analysis from somebody who's going to be honest, because obviously there's a lot of spin already. Oh, my gosh, everybody's going to die because every doctor that's ever had a connection with the federal government is being, you know, laid off and they're being fired now and all the rest of it. But so who really, realistically, Dave, who is it that Russ Vogt is looking at and saying, yeah, we can get along without you?
Well, I think it's kind of similar with the illegal immigration thing, right? 20 million illegal immigrants Biden allows in, wreaking havoc across the city, linked with Soros and the NGOs and all sorts of stuff, right? So the pragmatic answer is, well, you go after the worst of the worst first. You go after the people that have been let out of prison 10 times, and you deport them. Right. And so I think the answer with any other rifts are going to be anybody, you know, teachers, school bureaucrats that have been pushing these crazy boys or girls things and mm-hmm. sexuality in the kindergarten books and whatever.
Right.
I think we can do without your services for a while. Right. And it's just fascinating. Right. In the Judeo-Christian tradition, we're the only religious group. Right. The Christian West came up with human rights language in about 1300, the Catholics.
Yes.
And, you know, came out of, the Hebrew scriptures and the belief that we're all created in God's image. But we believe in protecting life, liberty, and happiness for every minority person and group. So that's not what's being debated here. What's being debated is now the minority factions, these 0.1% of the population, think they get to dictate policy for the majority. Mm-hmm. The minority mm-hmm. gets to run the country. No, that ain't part of the Republic deal, right? That's not, right? It's like you have a right for life, liberty, happiness, yep. but you don't get to run the trains because yep. you run the trains in the ditch.
That's right.
And so I think that's what we're sorting out here, this rule of law thing going way back. If you want to go way back to Locke and Hobbes, they had a hard time because they were intelligent and sophisticated thinkers. And they said, how are we going to get these people to go along with this democracy thing? Because mm-hmm. they're not really going to vote for all these policies, right? So then you have a representative. And even if you have a representative, you still really haven't voted for everything, right? So they had to come up with, how are we going to get their tacit consent, it was called. And they basically said there's one thing that everybody will make the agreement for, and that's to protect their life. Will you join a contract, a social contract, where we, the government, protect your life, in exchange you go along with this Republic idea? Mm-hmm. Right? So that it was very minimalist government. But now people are just making up rights. And, of course, they're not rights, and they're certainly not biblical rights, and we're bankrupt. And the machine's not running anymore. Yeah. And so there has to be a fix. And, we've been spoiled. We've been living high. But those days are over, I'm afraid to tell everybody. And so it's time to get some discipline back.
Yeah. It's certainly not going to be an easy lesson for a lot of people. When you talk about how long this stuff has been going on, decades and decades and decades.
Yep.
Let's face it. Nobody wants to go to the doctor and hear, you know what? If you don't drop 20 pounds in the next month,
right,
you're probably not coming
right.
in for your appointment next year, right? I mean, nobody wants to hear that, but
yep.
your doctor cares about it. He's going to be honest with you and let you know what the story is. Well, do you have any sense now that these reductions in force are happening with the federal government starting today with the Russ Vogt directives? Do you have a sense now how long this government shutdown continues? Is this enough to say to those Democrats, all right, fine, we're getting back, we're going to vote, and let's just move on?
Yeah, I would have thought things would be wrapping up in the next few days. I think last week I said within a week or so. And so I still think Schumer's going to come back. Right. Senator Kennedy, the funny one, the other day said, look, Schumer is going to act like he's a hardcore because the socialists are running their party.
Yep.
But he's going to find 7 votes to come back and open it up and run the government. And then he's going to act like, oh, I can't believe you guys did that. I can't believe I'm so upset with you. And so, you know, I think that's what's probably coming within the week.
Okay.
And if not, you know, the base of the Democrat Party is small and shrinking, but they're very loud, right? You're seeing Spamberger with the rage, Fuel Your Rage, and then the lines and whatever. So they're running hot right now, and it doesn't seem like a good way to govern.
Right. That's a great point. Dave, I always appreciate you being here, my friend. I thank you for the time. Have a blessed weekend. We will talk again soon.
All right. Love being on. God bless you guys.
Thank you. That is Dr. Dave Brad. He is the Senior Vice President for Business Relations down there at Liberty University. Great, great school, by the way. Just an absolutely stellar school. And I would hope, I really would hope that if you've got kids, grandkids, nieces, nephews, et cetera, you're having them think about Liberty. That would be an important thing to do. All right, and I do want to make one disclaimer, just so we're always very clear. Dave Brad is never here on behalf of Liberty. He's here because he's a brilliant guy, and he's a dear friend for many, many, many years, and he knows of what he speaks. And he's just kind enough to join us and offer a little insight, which I really do appreciate. We've got my brother from another mother, Stan Drewski, is coming up at 4:35. You know, the best weekend radio show anywhere happens Saturday mornings, 8 a.m., right here on News Radio WRBA with Stan. It is called In the Garage with Stan Andrewski. And then at 5:35, my pal T.J. Leonard's dropping by. They get a lot of stuff going on at Tom Leonard's Farmer's Market in Short Pump. The pumpkin patch is open. They've got a special costume contest that's going to be happening. So we got a lot to talk about with T.J. We'll do that at 5:35. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRBA.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
405 Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Friday. Yes. Oh, my goodness. It is Friday. We have made it. Congratulations. Self high fives all the way around. So much that we are dealing with. Obviously, a peace right now in the Middle East, right? I mean, you are seeing Israel pull out of chunks of Gaza. It's what was required in the Trump peace plan. We're still waiting, of course, for Hamas to actually return the hostages. What does Hamas get in exchange? Well, they get another opportunity to live in peace. Of course, Hamas has never really been interested in that. They'll have approximately 2,000 prisoners returned to them. These are not folks who have been imprisoned in Israel because they had a parking ticket. These are stone-cold killers, rapists, robbers, worst of the worst. But that's who they want. And they're going to get them. This is how devoted Israel is to having peace. We'll see where that goes. I know we've got some snippets from last night's debate. I want to take a listen to some of them. I thought that there were a couple that were really, really, really quite good. Quite good. Abigail Spanberger does not really answer much. If you listened last night, you would have heard her not answering questions. Remember what the rules were. Charles Pyle last night on our special pre-debate program laid out the rules. Everybody agreed to these rules. There would be no direct questioning. You weren't supposed to ask questions of your opponent. Winsome Sears broke that. You're right. About what? 5 seconds into it? Okay. Now, you do have to give Abigail Spanberger credit. She didn't actually ask anything of Winsome Sears. But then again, she didn't even acknowledge that Winsome Sears was on the stage. She wouldn't even look at the woman. I always like to juxtapose things because I think you learn a lot that way. So think for a second if it had been a male candidate instead of a female candidate. Let's say that Glenn Youngkin were on the stage and he was debating a woman and he didn't look at the woman, never acknowledged her. You know what would be said? What a misogynist. What if it were a black woman, a racist and a misogynist? Interesting. And yet, Abigail Spanberger does not even acknowledge Winsome Sears, and apparently everything is okay. Just ask the legacy news media folks who think it's just dandy. Nothing here. Move along. What about that J. Jones matter? Ma'am, are you really okay endorsing, fully supporting, campaigning for, campaigning with this moral reprobate who fantasizes about putting two bullets into the head of a coworker? 4 separate occasions, Abigail Spanberger wouldn't answer. Did you notice the difficulty that Spanberger has? She has a real difficult time saying yes or no. There are certain yes or no questions that exist in the world. They are called closed-ended questions. And they require simply a yes or a no, an affirmative or a negative. Yay or a nay. I don't care, but it's yes or no. She can't do that. She won't. Maybe she can do it, but she won't do it. Same thing with this transgender thing. Are you really cool with naked guys? And in the case of, what's his name, Richard Cox up there, a convicted sex offender hanging out in the girls' locker room in the schools. And now we're hearing that he had an interaction with one of the members of the school board, apparently swapping emails. It's crazy. Really, Abby? Are you okay with that dude hanging out in a locker room naked or in a shower naked or in the bathroom naked with your daughters? Are you that ice cold? Apparently so. All right, let me start with the J. Jones stuff. Let's do that. Let us start with Abigail Spanberger, her first effort to dodge the J. Jones matter, Germ.
The comments that J. Jones made are absolutely abhorrent. I denounced them when I learned of them, and I will denounce them every opportunity I get. As a mother, as a public servant, as a candidate for governor, I denounce them. And it is important that candidates always denounce violence on no matter which side of the aisle. Violence, violent rhetoric, we should always be focused and forceful in our denouncement of it.
Going to tell him
and
to
importantly,
get
my opponent unfortunately only denounces violence when her side is the target.
Don't
I hope
like that,
into
Abigail.
The future she will endeavor to denounce violent rhetoric and violence no matter who the victim. And tonight, Lieutenant Governor
are
Earl Sears, I will say, you routinely refer to me as your enemy.
Ms. Earl Sears, just please give her a chance to respond.
You routinely refer to me as your enemy. I'm not your enemy. You are not my enemy. We are political opponents, and tonight voters are here to listen to the policy differences that we have.
Ms. Earl Sears, please give her a chance.
So as we move forward, we must continue to set a good example for all of our children.
Ice flipping cold, right? There's no humanity in that woman, is there? Honest to goodness, there's nothing there. It's like an empty shell. Cold, dead heart. God, that's difficult to listen to. That's not the first time. It's not the only time. I mean, it is the first time. It's not the only time she dodges the Jay Jones matter. I think a total of four times. We only pulled two because, I mean, what the heck? It's just a variation on a theme. How about that second dodge, please?
In fact, it appears that it was those who released the text messages and held them for years. So the public was unaware who had knowledge of these text messages for many hours.
What did you do about it?
I learned of these text messages the day that they came out, and I denounced them as soon as I learned of them.
She denounces murder.
And importantly, at this point, as we move forward, the voters now have this information that was withheld for them.
You're running to
presumably for
Ms.
political
Earl Sears,
reasons, but the voters now have the information, and it is up to voters to make an individual choice based on this information.
Ms. Member, I understand what you're saying about the voters, but for you yourself, do you still continue to endorse Jay Jones? 15 seconds, yes or no?
We are all running our individual races. I believe my opponent has said
her
that about her lieutenant governor
Abigail.
Nominee.
Ms. Earl Sears.
And it's up to every person to make their own decision. I am running my race to serve Virginia, and that is what I intend to do.
Thank you, Ms. Spamberger. We just want to clarify, you know, what you're saying is that as of now, you still endorse Jay Jones as Attorney General.
I'm saying as of now, it's up to every voter to make their own individual decision. I am running for governor. I am accountable for the words that I say, for the acts that I take, for the policies that I have put out.
Thank you.
I am responsible for the policies I put out and the work I will endeavor to do tirelessly for the people of Virginia.
Thank you, Ms. Spamberger.
Hey, you got to give some credit to Deanna Albritton from Channel 8. I thought you did a nice job last night. I really did. That Todd guy from, I guess it's a Norfolk station, I thought he was okay. I thought he had, he piped in a little bit too much, trying to pretend that he was one of these network guys on one of the national debates. You could kind of get that sense, right, that that's what he thought he was doing. And so he hopped in way too much. But I thought Deanna Albritton, man, she did a great job asking some very direct, very pointed questions. And you heard it there. And once again, Abigail Spamberger doesn't answer. Just doesn't answer. Well, I am still in favor of tuna melts. I think it's a fine sandwich. All right. Do you eat them on a daily basis? I think they're a great sandwich. It's a yes or no question. Well, they are delicious and nutritious and malicious and yeah, whatever. No answers. No answers. 4:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 4:20, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Friday. We got some lovely, lovely, lovely weather for tomorrow. If you like mostly sunny, right around 70 degrees, low humidity. Yeah, I'll take that. Sunday, boy, this is a challenge. I'm seeing a couple of things that say it's going to be mostly sunny, and a couple of things saying it looks like it's going to be a washout weather-wise. So I promise I'll try and track that down and get some details. But overall, for the next week or so, it looks like pretty comfy temps and really low humidity. So that is it's just a nice thing, I think.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
You'll be able to enjoy that a little bit. We've got Stan Drewski coming on at 4:35, my brother from another mother. Stan Andrewski, who during the week you will find over at Certified Auto Repair, 8401 Oakview Avenue in the Lakeside section of Henrico, or Arts Automotive Service, 1214 Athens Avenue in the Yellow Tavern section of Henrico. And every Saturday morning, 8 a.m., you will find Stan in the garage hosting the best weekend radio show anywhere in the garage with Stan Andrewski right here on this little radio station of ours, News Radio WRVA. All right, we heard a couple of clips there from Abigail Spamberger. I think we should hear a couple of clips from Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears. Let us start the first one, please, Jeremy.
Well, I think as everybody knows, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian before I'm a Republican, and I'm required to forgive people. And it's hard sometimes when somebody has abused you, etc., but it's something you must do, because not to forgive is almost like, as someone said, you drink poison thinking that it's going to affect the other person. And I want to live a decent life, and I don't want to not have peace in my life. And so I, as I've said before, I would not say that. So that's why I'm wondering why my opponent won't say beyond it's abhorrent and disgusting, why she won't say it is not okay and that he must leave the race, because Jay Jones advocated the murder, Abigail, the murder of a man, a former speaker, as well as his children who were 2 years, 2 and 5 years old. You have little girls. What would it take him pulling the trigger? Is that what would do it? And then you would say he needs to get out of the race? Abigail, you have nothing to say? Abigail, what if he said it about your three children? Is that when you would say he should get out of the race, Abigail? You're running to be governor.
Miss Earl Sears.
Wow. Wow. That's powerful stuff. And once again, Abigail Spamberger is silent. Just cold, cold, icy. It really, telling you, strikes me like she's just devoid of emotion or human characteristics. It's weird. How about the second piece from Lieutenant Governor Sears?
Ms. Earl Sears, a follow-up question now. You said in supporting that bathroom legislation that this is, quote, a safety issue.
Are
transgender students a safety threat? Yes or no, and why? You have 30 seconds.
I'm sorry, how did you ask that?
Are transgender students a safety threat? Yes or no? And why? You have 30 seconds.
So we know that biological men are larger in strength than women. We understand this. This is biology. If you look at football teams, you can see the difference between males and females. This is not hard, and that's why I'm asking my opponent, if your little girl comes home and said she was forced to undress in a locker room with a biological boy, what would you say? She's crying. What would you say?
Yeah, what would you say? I'd like to know. I still haven't heard an answer. Have you? It's 425, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. I'm a little chilly. How are you?
So I hear. You should be ashamed. You are from up north.
I know.
You should be ashamed of yourself right now. Listen to yourself.
I know. It is.
What in the?
I'll tell you what. I would hang my head in shame if I didn't have a scarf wrapped around it right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's been weird, hasn't it? Been up and down. It was like summertime on Monday, and last night it started cooling off yesterday afternoon, and it is beautiful weather though. We're lucky, and the low humidity does make it nice, but. You know, good news is we don't have to really worry about the weather except for some car care. We don't have to worry about the politics. We don't have to worry about the stock market. Right. And honestly, the weekend time, it's easier for me to say I'm not a government worker, and I'm sorry for all of the people that are being affected by this. But you know what? If your health is good and you're not going to starve this weekend, yep. If you are, go to churches. You go to Heights Grocery on Saturday morning. Go over there, get some groceries at Heights Church. You can get that. But what I'm getting at is we literally are going to be okay. Like, it's just, that's why I love the weekend. The weekend will never stop being the weekend to me. Even when I stopped getting paid on the weekend, since Megan's owned the business, I haven't had a paycheck in 15 years. I don't even know what I make, but she does, and every once in a while I can buy something. So what I'm getting at is I just still love the weekends, and it's not just because Friday's payday. It's because, we have the show tomorrow. I get to talk to you. I get to spend time with my family and my friends, and we don't have to worry about all the worries of the world for just a couple days. And that's why I love the weekend. You just can, you got to learn to let go of some of the stuff. It's too big for all of us. So I think that's a big deal. And I'm very excited for the show. All the things we're going to talk about tomorrow. You and I are on a roll. I think we're on like 3 shows in a row without any kind of disruption. So we're kind of killing it. Something like that. I don't even know. We're going here. We've been live. It's a good thing.
It is a good thing. You know, this is the sort of weather where humidity is low. It is a little bit cooler. The leaves are starting to fall. This is drive weather, right? This is when you get in your car and you just say, I'm going to drive for an hour and see what I can see.
Yeah. And, you know, Megan and I last Saturday after the show went up to Stanton and stayed in an inn up there. It's called, I think it was the Oak Dean Inn. It was amazing in Stanton. And then drove to Goshen, I don't know, one of those two. Y'all know if you've been here for a while. And got on, we were able to get on the train and took a scenic train ride through the Shenandoah Valley and stuff. It was just beautiful. So it was so foggy in the morning, though. It helped me remember what starts to happen in the fall. When it's been this warm, everything gets foggy, including your windshield. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. You know, and you and I talked about last week how some of the plastics in your car actually bleed into your windshields. That's where that nastiness comes on the inside of your windows, where you can wipe with glass cleaner. It doesn't work, but I found something that really works. We're going to talk about it tomorrow. First time, no streaks, absolutely perfect. All the oil from your plastic on your windshield, all the stuff that gets in your car. By the way, if you don't change your cabin air filter that you're breathing in, if you're not changing it on a regular basis. So we talk about those types of things. Batteries, we're checking them. We're starting to see them already mess up from these colder mornings. Your coolant, all your fluids, your tires are a big deal, right? But the fog, the wipers, making sure your windows are clear, your defrost is working. That's the stuff that you can do at home. Like, you can look at those things and get an idea. Do I need wipers? Can I actually see when it rains? Does my washer work? Does my defrost work? And just start looking at those things, because you don't want to be heading out one morning like I was last Sunday morning, and there was just fog all the way up. I couldn't see anything because the ground was so warm and the air was so cold. It's just the opposite of what you're used to. So, yeah, the basics, too. Like, get yourself ready. Don't hang around this weekend. Wash your car. Give it a good coat of wax or ceramic if you know how. Wash the inside and the outside of your windows. Make sure your defrost works. Walk around it. Make sure there's nothing sticking out the side of your tire. They don't look low. You know, basics. We can do that without having to bring it to a shop.
I love that. I love that. That is absolutely a wonderful thing that you're talking about. Just some easy stuff, because, like you say, the weather's cooperating right now. It's not too hot. You're not going to, you know, be dripping with sweat. You're not going to be freezing. Now's a great time to go out there. Remind everybody, Stan, I was sharing this the other day. When you talk about the cabin air filters and the leaves, you've got to get that stuff out with where your hood is meeting your windshield, right? And then what about if you have doors and maybe one of those hatches in the back? Are those problem areas too?
Yeah, you know, wherever you see, and those problem areas are really big as well. A lot of people don't know this, like your rear glass or the hatch, if it opens up like the back of my Denali, it can get really dirty. And a lot of times the actual weather stripping is on the other side of that dirt. And so you're getting that dirt every time you get into your car, you're breathing it in. The cabin air filter is a big deal, guys, especially in Virginia. We have like 32 seasons of different allergens.
That's right.
And all of the stuff I'm talking about that, you know, your dashboard, people don't know the plastics that are in your car, the leathers, they seep things out that are probably not too healthy for you. Mm-hmm. So cleaning the windows gets it off the windows, gets it off the dash. Keep, you know, if you can, talking about great weather, keep all the side windows and all your doors open while you're cleaning it, just so you're not in that stuff while you're getting it off. And then replace your cabin air filter. You know, I think I do own a shop, and it is true, but I do it at least 6 times a year in my own car and Megan's. I've taken them out. Every time there's a season or a big drop in temperature or an increase in temperature, I'm just cleaning the interior. You're breathing this stuff in a lot, and it can be very unhealthy, the stuff that comes out of the interior of this car, not just the exterior. So
right.
The leaves underneath your cowl where you can open the hood where your windshield wipers are, absolutely clear them all out. There should be nothing there. You can take a little blower, like a leaf blower, and carefully blow all those leaves out. You can take them out with your hand carefully and put them into trash cans. Just get that stuff out. Absolutely. There's so many allergens. We find mold in these. We find mice on top of cabin air filters that look for a new home that smell horrible because they can't get out and they die. We find all kinds of critters and all kinds of nasty. Some of those things, when you take them out, smells like, I don't know, if you have a 10-year-old or 15-year-old or somebody playing high school sports or middle school sports, and, you know, that sports bag that's in the back of your car that has their cleats in it that they forgot 3 pairs of socks in, that's what those cabin air filters can smell like. And we're breathing it in going down the road.
Holy moly.
Wondering what that awful smell is.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you have described it. And don't forget, half of those gym bags, they got a lunch they packed in there last year, too, which is not helping the situation, right?
Yeah, and you could take it out, and the car still smell like it for weeks to come. And usually the cabin air filter is one of the biggest culprits, right? So, absolutely. Yeah, and tomorrow I'm going to release what I used on these. I tried 5 or 6 of my top suppliers to get the inside of my window clean with one. I mean, every time I clean, I'm like, oh, it looks great. And as soon as you went outside and somebody's lights hit you, right, you couldn't. Mm-hmm. I was like, who washed this? Like, no offense to third graders, but, you know, a preschooler? Like, you know, so I found something that absolutely works. First time, my dad used to say, oh, newspaper helps. You know, it doesn't. As long as you have something dry to wipe with, good microfiber rag, it will work the first time. Very easy, and it will make you. It'll help you see. So I'm going to release that tomorrow as well.
Excellent. Wow, this is exciting stuff, man. I am thrilled about it. I think everybody ought to be listening tomorrow morning at 8 a.m., the best weekend radio show anywhere. It is called In the Garage with Stan Andruski. It's right here, News Radio WRBA. And that whole idea about finally cleaning those windows properly, I'm a little scared to hear what the substance is. Just so we all know. Now, Stan, this wasn't something you were brewing up in the workshop in your house with anything out of that old gym bag you were just talking about, is it?
Yes, originally it was, and it was a little bit of vinegar. And what happened with it was my car smelled even worse because vinegar has a smell to it, even when it dries. So I didn't realize I was supposed to dilute it. But we're not doing that. You can literally go to any of the parts stores and buy the product I'm going to tell you about.
Okay.
Works great.
All right.
It's not expensive either. It's one of the cheaper products. Yep.
Wow. Love it. All right. Well, we are all now eagerly awaiting that full report tomorrow morning. Stan, have a fantastic evening. Say hello to everybody over there at Andruski Central. I'm big fans of that whole crew, you know. They're good people.
Well, we love your family, too, in Central Virginia. We'll see you all tomorrow. We love y'all. Hopefully you'll tune in tomorrow at 8 o'clock. Thanks, great, Jeff.
Thank you. That is Stan Andruski. Remember, tomorrow morning, 8 a.m., in the garage with Stan Andruski. Every one of us has been looking for that product that can actually finally, after all of the discussion and the experimentation, clean those windows properly. Stan says he's got it. It's available at every auto parts store, and it's inexpensive. I like the sound of it. 446, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. 450, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It, my friends, is Friday. Yeah, we have made it. Congratulations. Self high fives all the way around. Anybody following all of the big celebrations in the European cities? You know, the big celebrations celebrating the ceasefire? All the massive celebrations in the European cities celebrating the end to that genocide? No? Yeah, neither am I. I don't know where they are. I mean, I thought that's what they were all about. Remember? That's what they told us. Oh, we're not anti-Semites. It's not that we hate the Jews. We don't even hate Israel. We just, you know, we want to stop the genocide. We want to stop the killing. We want Israel to stop bombing and shooting and all that stuff. That's all we're advocating for. Even that moron with the goofy haircut, what's her name? Greta Thunderpants. I mean, she wasn't anti anything, right? She doesn't hate the Jews. She doesn't hate Israel. Now just ask her. And no, she wasn't just coming back for a sandwich. She was there to help, right? She was there to end the, quote, genocide. I know that I may have hurt some people's feelings when I suggested to them that they may not actually know what the word genocide means. And I would apologize, but I never apologize for telling the truth. If I make a mistake, I'll be happy to apologize. Lord knows that happens on a pretty regular basis. But telling you the truth? Nah, I'm not going to apologize for telling you the truth. So, since the, quote, genocide has ended, what are you going to do now? Do you take a victory lap? Or can you not even celebrate this ceasefire because somebody you despise with every fiber of your being, President Donald John Trump, is the one who got it done? Is that what it is? Even the idiots that are out there, idiots who have been angry and upset, trying to convince themselves they're not really anti-Semites. They just don't like Trump or Netanyahu. Why? Well, I don't know. But they don't. And they're willing to jettison friends. Oh, I can't be your friend anymore because you support the killing of babies in Gaza. I do? When did I do that? When did that happen? How am I doing that? Well, you support Netanyahu. Well, that is true. And you support Israel. Well, absolutely. And you support the Jews. Damn Skippy, I do. Yeah. I'm not quite connecting your pieces there. Maybe you need to do a little more research or something to get it all together, because I just don't quite understand what your problem is. I don't know where the celebrations are. How come all the geniuses at VCU? Remember all the protests down there at VCU to end the genocide? End the war? Well, the war is over. Your self-proclaimed genocide is ending, isn't it? Wouldn't you be celebrating? Or do you have to go dig out your Ukrainian flags to figure out what you're against or for this week? I'm looking at the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Jeff, do you think Governor Youngkin will run for Senate? No, I do not. Governor Youngkin is running for president as far as I'm concerned. Seriously, that's what I think he's doing, and I think he'd do a hell of a job. It is 456, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA, Friday, and it is lovely. No, it really, really is. Tomorrow's looking okay. Sunday, though, yep, it's official now. Sunday's going to be a washout, so be aware of that. Thanks again to John Reed, my friend, and the Republican nominee for Lieutenant Governor, for popping by. I'm taking a look at our James River Air text line, 833-804-1140. Hey, Jeff, I hope you're well. Please tell John that because he has been so accessible and he stands on his beliefs, I will be voting for him. That is from Tobias down in Chesterfield, retired USMC. 804 says, Jeff, Abigail Spamberger looked like she had a stick up her backside when Winston Sears asked about the J. Jones issue. 804, Jeff, poor Ghazala Hashmi doesn't even know where she lives. That's true. Phil from Goochland says, hey, Jeff, these people are receiving their salary from taxpayers. They have to answer to them. 804, Jeff, was this the first debate that Abigail Spamberger has ever been in? Because, quite frankly, that's how she looked. Yeah, she did not do well. My opinion, I don't know that anybody won or lost or anything else, but Spamberger was just so insulting and demeaning to Winston Sears as well. Gosh. 804 says, vote Republican, Virginia. We did on September the 19th. Another 804 says, Jeff, if I send J. Jones-style texts, won't I get in trouble? Yes. Yes. Yes, you will. 525, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. Paul.
I couldn't agree with you more on the weather. We've been outside filling up the pumpkin patch for movie night tonight, and it's just been an absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous day out there to be working outside. I feel pretty blessed.
Yeah, it is a lovely piece of weather. Now, movie night, what are you guys seeing tonight?
So, two Friday nights in October, we offer a free movie to the community out here in Short Pump. Tonight's a great pumpkin, Charlie Brown, great, great fun event for the kids. 7 o'clock tonight, if you don't have any plans, we're also showing it again on Friday night, the 24th at 7 o'clock. And it's totally free, free popcorn, free cider. Any kids who wear their Halloween costume get a free mini pumpkin. It's just a lot of fun and something we've been doing for, this is 25 years now.
Wow, that is such a great thing to do, and it's a great movie, by the way. I happen to be a fan of the Peanuts. I like it. Right? Come on, is it a guilty pleasure, or can I just say it's a pleasure?
Why not? It's Charlie Brown. It's exactly. Timeless.
Yeah, it is timeless. I love that. And popcorn and cider right there in the pumpkin patch. Man, that is, it's going to be a great night for that. That's not the only thing you got going on out there, is it?
It is full-blown, looks like fall threw up all over the outside of our store here. It's crazy. Somebody got pretty aggressive with the inflatables and decorations outside. I'm not pointing any fingers, but it looks really great outside. And the pumpkin patch is in full swing. I've been out here with Andy. He's been ordering, trailer loads of pumpkins multiple times a week. And every day it seems like more and more are coming and more are going. Every kind of pumpkin you could possibly want in every color, shape, and size, and straw bales and corn stalks, and everything you need to make your house the best looking one on the block.
Oh, I love that. What's the deal with the different colors and pumpkins? Because I just thought, now I'm a city guy, so I don't know anything about any of this stuff, but I just thought they were all supposed to be orange.
When I grew up, that was what we carved. Nobody had these heirloom specialty pumpkins, the Cinderellas and the Blue Hubbard, and nobody had any of these. They weren't around. And now I guess with Instagram, they're the thing. We sell twice as many of those as we do jack-o'-lanterns, and we sell thousands of jack-o'-lanterns.
Wow, that is crazy.
I can't believe. I mean, that's just what everybody wants for their porch now. And we've got a plenty of them. I think we have 17 different varieties of heirloom pumpkins out there right now.
Wow. Which one's the best for making a pie, though?
Well, we have pie pumpkins, too. We have the pie pumpkins are a little smaller. They're also known as a sugar pumpkin because of their sugar content. We've got white, yellow, and orange pie pumpkins right now. And before you ask, because I know it's going to be your follow-up, I don't know how a yellow pumpkin pie is going to turn out, but I'm going to try it this year.
Okay, well, that was my question. Look at that. Boy, we do know each other pretty well, don't we? You're doggone right. That was going to be my question. I would also like to volunteer in the event that the yellow or the white pumpkin pie is made somewhere, at Tom Leonard's Farmer's Market. Let me know. I'll come over and do a taste test for you. I'm a giving sort of guy.
I love pumpkin pie. It's my favorite, so I'll definitely share one with you.
I love it, man. That is great stuff. Let's talk about some of the other stuff that's coming in with the change in the fall weather. We've got certain fruit items and veggie items that are moving away. We're getting more into the fall season. What are we seeing now making their way into Tom Leonard's Farmer's Market?
We are kind of wrapping up the summer veg season here. If you walk into the store now, you know, the entire lobby is just apples everywhere. All different kinds of apples. That season that's probably the most prominent, agricultural item that you'll be able to see locally grown right now. I think we have 32 different varieties of local apples in season available right now. And that number increases almost daily as new varieties come out and are available. But as always, number one seller is Honeycrisp. Everybody loves Honeycrisp. And we've got a really great grower that we've been working with for I think 10 years now who supplies us with them. Then you've got the other great fall items from California and the West Coast with the pears and the grapes. That season is really, really special. All the unique varieties of grapes like Razzmatazz and Moondrop that you never hear of, but are only available for a few months in the fall. And fall squash, is around here. We've got a really cool, unique variety called Honey Nut, which is like a small butternut, but you don't have to peel it, and it doesn't have any seeds. It's just like a block of butternut squash. So you just cube it up and throw it in a pan. There's no prep work involved. Customers are going crazy over it. Greens, local.
Don't drive by that one so fast, sir. Now tell me what it was again, because I want to do that. We love butternut squash here, but let's not kid ourselves. It's a pain in the rear end to prep and scoop and all of that stuff. So what was the name of that one again?
It's called Honey Nut.
Honey Nut. Okay.
And it's about half the size of a butternut squash, a little darker, but skin is edible, and no seeds, no scooping, no peeling, no nothing. Just chop it up and throw it in a pan. Wash it first, obviously, but yeah. So really cool. And with that, you got local greens that are coming in: collards, kale, turnip, mustard. And the cruciferous veg, broccoli, cauliflower, that sort of stuff. It's peak season for it. So that's kind of what we're getting after here in a big way. Aside from all these events that we have going on outside, for the fall next weekend, come check out all the local produce next weekend for our fall festival. We've got a lot going on with the Touch a Truck event and the Trunk or Treat, free face painters, for bounce houses for the kids. And then in honor of Cat Simons, we're doing a pet costume contest from 2 to 4.
Wow.
So come out and see all your favorite puppies dressed up as their wildest, in their wildest costumes.
I do love that. That is a week from tomorrow. It's October the 18th, and wonderful stuff. The bounce houses, face painting you mentioned. You got Henrico County Police, Fire, Rescue all coming out there. The pet costume contest. See, I was a little confused when I first read about that, TJ, and I was trying to figure out, am I supposed to dress like my pet, or am I dressing up Pixie the Wonder Dog? But apparently it is Pixie who gets to wear the costume.
I'll never tell you you can't dress up and come to the pet costume contest, Jeff. You're welcome to do so, but I think you'll be the only one.
I don't mind standing out in a crowd. I'm okay with that. One of the beautiful things about that event next week, TJ, I want to remind everybody, you guys do that great wishing well there, and you help out so many charities in Central Virginia, and again, have since the day that that store opened, and your dad's done such an amazing job through the years, and you're doing great work. But that wishing well is still there, right? I mean, we are still helping people in Central Virginia, and I understand that going to be a whole slew of charity folks showing up just to say, hey, learn a little bit about us.
Every week, customers have the option to throw their spare change in our wishing well outside of our exit door. And we match all the donations to that and give a different local charity every week the donations for that we received that week. And we reached out to them and asked if they would want to come, the ones that we worked with over the last year, want to come participate in this Trunk or Treat event. I think we had 40 or 45 of them who were just going to come pass out candy to the kids, get their name out there. It's a great thing to do for the community.
It is beautiful. All right, TJ, I have two questions. I got to put you on the spot, and you're going to need to answer honestly, sir. Number one, 32 varieties of apple. What is your favorite?
Oh, that's tough. You know, we've got one that's not local that comes out in about 3 weeks or so. It's from Washington, grown by one of the big powerhouse growers out there, called Lucy Glow. And it is one of the coolest varieties of apples out there. It's actually got a pink flesh to it. Wow. So you bite into it, and you know the outside close to the or the meat close to the skin is white, and it turns to a bright pink towards the center. Really, really cool apple. Wow. That I think is my favorite.
Okay, and about 3 weeks. So, all right, I'll be over for that one. And finally, I know we're getting close to Halloween here. What is the preferred candy? You have the duty. You're passing out candy. What is T.J. Leonard giving to everybody?
So, you know, when we were in, you know, when we lived here in Richmond, my wife and I, we were out in Church Run, which is a great community out here in Western, in RICO.
Right.
And a lot of kids there. We were expecting tons and tons of trick-or-treaters, and I had piles of candy lined up, but we were at the end of a cul-de-sac, and we got one. And so, so I decided that from that moment forward, we would be the house with the full-size candy bars. Because you only get one or two, at least they're going to get a good one. So we give out full-size candy bars at our house. That's the preferred candy.
Oh, you're a good man. I just love everything you're doing over there. Obviously, tonight you've got the movie night getting underway, and people should go out and see that. Go and check out the pumpkin patch. I believe it is Stewie approved, right? He signed off on all of the things like the inflatables and all that good stuff.
And the chairman, Stewart, is going to be giving the introduction for the movie night tonight. He just doesn't know it yet.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. All right. This is a keeper, man. Make sure you are recording on that. I definitely want to see that if I get there late. And then next week, we'll circle back next week right before you do the big trunk or treat a week from tomorrow to remind everybody about it. Listen, give everybody my best at the store. Andy and the crew, they're great people. Your dad as well, just a great, great guy. We love what you do at Tom Leonard's Farmers Market. Again, congratulations. Best farmers market in all of Central Virginia, and so well deserved.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it. Have a great night.
All right, you do the same. That is T.J. Leonard, Tom Leonard's Farmers Market in Short Pump. I'm just telling you right now, Heidi and I love, love, love everything we do over there. You got little kids, go over, watch. It's the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown. That's a classic tonight. They got free cider, they got free popcorn, and lots of stuff going on in the pumpkin patch. 547, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA.
Self high five.
It is Friday, man. Yes, it is. Self high fives all the way around. Congratulations, we have made it. Oh, it's been a long week, hasn't it? We got a beautiful weekend coming up. A lot of stuff to do, some great stuff to do. And if you get the chance, I would say get out. Tomorrow's going to be the day to get out, by the way. Tomorrow is the day. Did you see? No, President Trump did not win the Nobel Peace Prize. But there is actually a legitimate reason why he didn't win the Nobel Peace Prize. Because the Nobel Peace Prize is awarded essentially a year in the past. So the 2025 Nobel Peace Prize is actually given for things that happened back in 2024. Those are the rules. They're not always applied exactly as they should be, right, Barack Obama? But I'm just saying that those are the rules, so they can say that. What it means to me is next year, President Trump should receive the Nobel Peace Prize for what he did in the year 2025. Is that the case? I don't know. But I guess we should keep our eyes open for it. But the woman who did win the Nobel Peace Prize, she leads the opposition in Venezuela. She dedicated her Nobel Peace Prize to President Trump. Think about that. I think that is so wonderful and so beautiful. And probably, in many ways, just annoyed the heck out of so many on the left. Isn't that crazy? Absolutely crazy. All right, my friends, it is Friday, so I wish you a Shabbat Shalom. If you are Hebraically challenged, simply means have yourself a great weekend. We will end, as we have since October the 7th, 2023, by playing Hatikvah. That is the Israeli national anthem. Hatikvah is Hebrew for the hope. The folks performing this are members of the IDF, the Israel Defense Force. Have a fantastic weekend. God willing, you and I get the chance to do it all again starting at 3 o'clock on Monday. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.